Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, this week, the last week in the month of June, is framed for us by two important feast days. On Sunday, we celebrated the feast of St. John the Baptist. And on this coming Friday, we are going to be celebrating the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Both of these feast days are ranked as solemnities, meaning that they are some of the most important days within our church's calendar. And this for a very important reason. Because these feast days touch upon an aspect of the church and upon our life within the church that are very important for us to understand and to meditate upon. St. John the Baptist was considered to be the last of the Old Testament prophets. The last of that line of prophecy that stretches back centuries, looking forward to the coming of that time of the Messiah, of one who would lead Israel into an age of peace and of truth. And in John the Baptist, we find the last of this prophetic line in one who announced that indeed the hopes of Israel were to be realized, and that the Messiah was indeed near and present. But in John the Baptist, we have an opportunity to consider the meaning of prophecy and the role of prophets within our lives. So often the word prophet now, used in common parlance, means someone who can tell the future. But that's not what the scriptural prophets were by and large about. A prophet was called by God to call people back to the meaning of God's word, to his law, to his life, when the people seemed to be straying from that. And this prophet is called by God simply to remind people of what God has asked us, who he is, and how he operates within our lives. Also in John the Baptist, we find a profound devotion to his mission. Interestingly enough, he was asked by God to announce the coming of the Messiah, although he himself only met the Messiah later in his life and very near to his death. But yet he remained true to that mission, although it was one that remained in mystery. But John the Baptist knew that the word of God was true. And he is a reminder to us that within the church we all have, in a sense, a prophetic mission. It is a mission to live and to proclaim the word of God. A devotion to that mission, to know Christ, to live Christ, and to share Christ. But also to realize, as John the Baptist came to realize, that with the coming of Christ among us, it is he who must increase, and we must decrease. Meaning, of course, that foremost, it is Christ who represents both that icon of God the Father and the perfection of human life. So as Christ increases, we decrease as simple human persons in the natural order, but are increased by his presence and his grace. And the deeper our faithfulness to Christ, the more perfected will our humanity be. On Friday, we celebrate the feasts of Saints Peter and Paul. This has always been ranked as one of the highest feast days within the Church's calendar. For it was on the basis of Peter and Paul's mission, of their preaching, and also of their witness to the Christian life, that we proclaim our church to be apostolic. That is, a church rooted in those apostles, in their preaching, how they shaped the church, how they lived, and what they gave us as an inheritance. There is Peter, who became the prince of the apostles, the leader of that college of apostles named directly by Christ. He has traditionally been seen as the source of the unity of the body of Christ, the church, and its rootedness in the very life of the Lord, and how in the apostles we find that the presence of Christ is continued in his word and in his sacraments. Paul, known for his devotion to the word in season and out, became the great preacher and proclamation of the gospel. And that proclamation of the gospel, in Paul's own life and in his many missionary trips, became a universal message. It is in Paul that we see the message of Christ emerging out of that world of ancient Palestine and into the whole world. The announcement that all men and women have been called to this gospel of Jesus Christ, to this profound reconciliation with God and to each other, no matter what ethnical background they were from, where they lived, and at what time they lived. That message is for all people. And St. Paul also reminds us that in Jesus Christ, our humanity is being restored, not simply to the wonder that it was at the moment of the creation of Adam and Eve, but even more greatly restored in Jesus Christ, when our very being is now absorbed into the Godhead, into the very life of God. Peter and Paul are also very important in the fact that they both came to the city of Rome, and there they were both martyred. And it has often been remarked that the growth of the church is often watered by the blood of its martyrs. And in sacred scripture that tell us about the missionary work of St. Paul, about the evangelical efforts of Peter, we find that there is a trajectory, there's a movement of the message. In the Gospels, it was from Galilee to Jerusalem, as Jesus made his way from his native home up to the city of Jerusalem, where he suffered, died, and rose to new life. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we find that that message is now going from Jerusalem throughout the entire Mediterranean world and eventually to Rome, which at that time was considered the capital of the world. And finally, from Rome, from the wonderful example of Peter and Paul and their inheritance to the church, the message went from Rome to every corner of the world. So that in Peter and Paul, we understand the beginning of that universal message of Jesus Christ and carried on within his body, now the church, dedicated to that word and to the holy sacraments, which are the source of our grace and transformation. But there is another element to the lives of St. John the Baptist and Saints Peter and Paul that is important for all of us. You know, John the Baptist was a martyr. But although most people would probably assume that he was martyred because of his preaching and his announcement of the coming of the Messiah, that's not really accurate. John the Baptist was martyred because of his defense of marriage, its meaning, its validity, its indissolubility. And we want to remember John the Baptist for his courageous support of one of the fundamental aspects of all human societies, and particularly of the church, and that is the reality of marriage between a man and a woman and family life. But we proclaim ourselves every Sunday as we recite the Creed, an apostolic church. Now, I think in the broadest sense, this means that as faithful Christians, as faithful members of the body of Christ, we are a prophetic and apostolic people. We are prophetic because we are called to the mission of the prophets, to teaching, to proclamation. We look back at the earliest apostles, and we understand that there are aspects of their lives that are really unique to them and non-repeatable. The apostles, by and large, had been with Christ throughout his public ministry. They knew him, they heard him, they spoke with him, they ate with him. And secondly, they were witnesses to the resurrection. And as companions with Christ in his historical public ministry, and as witnesses to his resurrection, they also preserved that unique authority to formulate the deposit of faith, to actually grasp the gospel of Christ, and to shape it and to preach it in a way that became fundamental for all Christians throughout the ages. And we honor them for that unique witness and the unique original authority of the apostles. But there are parts of the lives and the work of the apostles that is passed on. First of all, there is that faithfulness to the teaching of the apostles, and how through their lives and their decisions that they made in the life of the church, how the gospel was formulated, was preached, and was made active among people scattered throughout the ancient world and now scattered throughout the entire world. We are part of that apostolic witness. We know that the apostles are that foundation of the witness. But we know also the way that they lived and the way that they transmitted the truth to us becomes what we call the tradition of the church, which is as well a source of our understanding of the reality of Jesus Christ and how that reality is lived out. So we are apostolic in being both true to their teaching and true to the tradition that they gave us. But there's another way by which we are apostolic, and that is how we pattern our actual day-by-day life upon the manner of the apostles. Oh, this is not to suggest that we have to go back and recreate some particular historical details of how they lived, what they ate, how they dressed, how they actually used a particular language. But it means becoming aware of how their lives were shaped by that devotion, by the manner by which they lived with one another. How, in fact, they lived within a church and what it meant to be a church. And how they lived the faith is still important for us to emulate. I think of the extraordinary courage of St. Peter when he proclaimed before the Sanhedrin and all of the people in Jerusalem that there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which we are saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And how Paul boldly proclaimed it in every city that he visited, even though in some cities there was a very negative reaction. We are told that he endured flogging. He was once cast out of a city after being beaten up and nearly died of it. He was in shipwreck. In all of these adventures, Paul remained true to that word revealed to him by Christ. And we think of Peter, whose great service to the church was to organize it as a single body and to preserve that unity, and how we too are to be constantly aware of the unity of our community of disciples and how we preserve it. But fundamentally, when we think of John the Baptist and of Peter and Paul, we remember our own vocation, the vocation to personal holiness, the vocation to the proclamation of the gospel, and the mission to share all good things from God through Christ and in the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.